This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared, word for word, in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries.
And now, Reverend Dr. John Dickey.
A very good afternoon to all of you. Today, live online here at HICF, we celebrated our HICF Stewards of 2019-2020 HICF calendar year. We also celebrated their college graduation, so it's a double blessing. The topic of our sharing today, as we continue unpacking John 3:16, could be no better for the graduated students. Part 5. Many choices in life, but two are fundamental. Many choices in life, but two are fundamental. But that but is directly related to what has been said. But is not in denial of the fact that what was said earlier, but also means the subsequent or what is coming after the but will affect the former. Yes, our graduates and each of us, especially in respect of what is happening in our world, there is need for decision, choice making now and then, each of the steps ahead. There is also the question of what is next. For example, what is next if there is a second wave of COVID-19? May God have mercy. We pray not. But what is next? What shall we do? What is next for the graduates with the bleak future of landing a good job? Well, as I have said during my graduation speech, I admonish the graduates to remember God is always, and God is next, and should be next. We should all, both for our graduates and ourselves, to simply begin each decision with God as a central factor, and always with eternity in view. Let me say, the topic for today's service may seem to be a good coincidence. Well, truthfully, I did not foresee it coming this way. I did not plan for it to match today's graduation. All I know, I pray and seek the face of the Lord on what to share, and I'm open to changing it at any time. Sometimes in the morning, when I look at my scripts to brush over, sometimes it is compelled in my spirit to change the whole topic, and I do. Even though I just feel messed up, and I say, God, why are you messing me up sometimes? I've planned all these things, but I'm sensitive. So don't be, fellow pastors, co-laborers in the house of God, let us all be flexible. When the Holy Spirit decides to move in a different direction, we should not resist Him. But certainly, coincidence is not on God's part. God does not play dice or cast lots, nor consult mediums, because He is God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth. He ordered things, and they must happen as desired and designed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Before we go into part 5 of the unpacking of John 3:16 series, so far we have in part 1, if you recall, the question was, do you know John 3:16? Part 2 talks about who is God and more importantly in that question, who is God to you? And then we talked about what is love, something that is very central in our lives. What is love? Part 4 talks about that love. If you know what love is, does that love gives freedom? So part 4 said love gives freedom of choice. If it is a true, genuine love, it gives freedom. No matter how you love somebody, you have to respect that freedom of choice. If you enforce your love on someone, well, you are going contrary to what love is. Love does not force. It says what? Love does not force. And then we shall be looking at today, many choices in life, but two are fundamental. Let me quickly say, by next week, we shall be rounding this series. We'll bring it to an end, at least for this season. The unpacking of John 3:16, we can never finish unfolding it. After that, that means we'll have covered 6 parts in 6 Sundays, but there is still a lot to be unfolded. And I challenge you, read it daily. God will be unfolding many things. So, just as God rested after creation in 6 days, we shall put to rest the John 3:16 series. But in the same way, after God rested, he asked man to take care of the garden. Yes, we will lay John 3:16 for this season, but work out what you have received. Now back to a recap of what we covered in part 4 last week. Love gives freedom of choice. The very first point is love does not force. That was clearly understood. And I believe each one of us, if anybody forces us to love another person, that is not a natural love. What is love? Say number 2, you are endowed with the ability to make a choice. Each one of us, we have been given the ability to make a choice. And therefore, we should stop making excuses. You can't stop this or you can stop that. God is one that has given us choice. Finally, the third point for that part 4, it says, love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but regrettably allows your wrong choice. Look, God is never happy with the wrong choices we make. He will do all he can that is necessary to help us see what is right, the right path of things, help us to understand, and even give the opportunity to change our choice. But if we persist, he will let us have our way, but certainly we will bear the consequences or be responsible for the choice. Now let's focus on part 5 for today. Many choices in life, but two are fundamental. For our graduates, it's true, from the university, there are hundreds of choices out there. And literally, you have to make a decision which to choose from. But the title of today is talking about two fundamental choices that are important for everyone. And I hope we have made the choice out of those two. It says what? It is true. Life is full of choices from which we must choose and will be held responsible for our choices. Life is full of choices from which we must choose and will be held responsible for our choices or for our choice. Two things in this statement. And we will deal with the choices in life, the different or types of choices in life. Number 1, the daily choices of life, the day-to-day choices. At the break of each dawn, you and I are faced with the decision to wake up and get out of bed or not. We struggle, but we know we have to make that decision. And then comes, what is for breakfast? What is for dinner? What is for lunch? What is for dinner? What to wear? What color? Other choices that we have to make every day. Do we stay at home? Or do we have to go to work? Visit friends? Maybe appointment with our dentist? Sometimes, because of so many things to do, you feel as if 24 hours not enough, not even enough to catch your breath. We are also confronted with moral decisions to make each day. When you face problems or challenges, the choice is out. You have to choose what to do. Should you give in or stand? Say yes or no, or even ignore the situation? It demands a choice. At the end of the day, when you go back home, what time to go to bed? You have to make a choice. Well, in reality, some of these choices, if we don't take time to do them, nature will force us. Just like if you refuse to sleep, you'll find yourself dozing off on a couch. Secondly, from the daily choices to major choices in life. What are the major choices in life? Brothers and sisters, accept you are purposeless, a wanderer, one who has no focus. There are major decisions in life that we must make. Many of the documents you fill today for job or processing something in a government office may require some of what I will be mentioning as major choices in our lives. There will be about four major choices that I consider traditionally that ought to be long-term choices, but in our world today, some of them have become a short-term choice. Number one, it doesn't matter who you are, you have to belong to one of these. Whether you are faith or faithless, whether you have a belief or you don't have, describe you have to be in this category. Either a monotheist or atheist. An atheist. A theist is one that believes there is God. Atheist is one who says there is no God. Monotheist. It's more specific. He believes in one God, just as we believers believe in one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we Christians believe, when we say we believe, we know it is just beyond saying we believe. So monotheist. Then we have those that have many gods, those that believe there are many gods. Like in India, we have more thousands of gods there. Or you can be an agnostic. Neither faith nor disbelief in God. Agnostics are skeptical about the existence of God. Now, it doesn't matter to which you belong. The fact is that you have to make a choice. And the question here for you, which one are you? Which one are you? Next one, apart from faith and belief, another major choice that we have to make, choosing a career. When you fill those forms for application for a job or going into another institution, they will not ask you. Or they will ask you, what is your job? They will ask you, are you married? So choosing a mate is another major thing. Whether you are single or married. The fourth one is choosing your friends. Usually you don't see this in application forms or some office processing documents. But in our courts of law, they will ask, especially when there is a crime and you are at the spot of that crime. They will want to know, what are you doing at that time? What are you doing with that criminal? We know the story of Jeffrey Epstein. he committed suicide in the prison. But they are now questioning Prince Andrew of England. What is his relationship? With who now is late but referred to as a child molester in sex trade matters? Is there asking? So, show me your friend, I will tell you who you are. So choosing your friends in life is very important. Choosing where to live is also important. We should not downplay it, as it's not important. Where you want to make home is very important. The place you live, it tells about who you are. Where you live reveals a lot about you. We should also be careful of where we choose to live. Remember the lessons that we got from Lot. The place he chose, he saw it with much future, grass, with water. It says like the garden of the Lord. He chose that place. Abraham allowed him. But he never knew beyond the hills, beyond the forest, Sodom and Gomorrah. That is why it is said, do not lean on your own understanding how you see it. And indeed, it says, it may appear okay now, but the end may be destruction. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of it is destruction. So we should not lean on our own understanding. We should always depend on God, who sees the end from the beginning, and he will make the crooked path straight for us. So as you can see, that it is true that life is full of choices that we have to make, either for short term or long term. So we have seen some of the choices, major choices, the daily choices of life, major decisions in life. But there are certain things in life that you don't get a chance to choose, to make a choice. Like the date of your birth, you did not choose when to come into this life. And the day of departure, which I call natural day of dying, because there is the unnatural way when you commit suicide. You hang yourself, that is not natural day. All right. But generally, the date of birth and your natural date of dying, you have no choice about that. You cannot also alter certain physical and divine laws that govern nature of man. Example, gravity. If you there jump from a 20th story building, I can assure you, without any prophecy, without any anointing, but understanding the divine, the gravity law, the law of gravity, you can never, when you jump, you are going down, you can go up. I can assure you that, without a shadow of doubt. Also, light keeps shining in the dark, and the darkness has never put it out. Light will always shine in the darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. It goes with the other one. The truth will always prevail, no matter how long it takes. In John 8:32, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the truth will always prevail, no matter how long. So don't give up. Don't give up. Sometimes it seems like evil is winning. Lies is winning. Corruption is winning. But it will not prevail. Just as Jesus Christ tells the church will match. There are opposing forces, but the church has been destined to prevail. So likewise, truth will prevail. It says once, the other one, it says, what you sow is what you reap. That is standard. Whatever you sow is what you reap, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Numbers 32, verse 23, it says, your sins will find you out. It is a law. Sin has no option but to find you and expose you. Sin is like a bulldog, like that sniffer dog at the airport, sniffing cocaine, and it will definitely find that cocaine. Sin will find sin. It identifies its very nature in anything. It is certain that it will find you out. Sin will get you out, and it will. It is a law. It has been said by God. Sin will find you out. nothing done under the sun will remain covered. What other choices do we have in life? There is what I call the second choice. Also, you can refer to it as opportunity choice. Changing a choice after making one. There are choices that you shouldn't have made or you should have made at one point in life. But for one reason or the other, you didn't get to make the right choice. And you still have an opportunity to make it right. If you fall into a pit by mistake, you don't have to remain in the pit. You can get out, have a good wash, and be sensible to watch and know how to avoid falling into that pit again. Yes, we have to be careful how we speak. You speak, you hurt somebody, you can make it right. You can ask forgiveness. If you fail exams, you can still work hard to make it right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there are things after you have made a decision to do that, it's difficult to revert it. We have to be very careful. Just like the choice of pulling that trigger, that gun trigger. After you pull that trigger, you can't run after the bullet and get it back. Likewise with our words. You be careful with our words. They are alive. They can hurt and cut. Hallelujah. The next question I want to ask, can you imagine a life without choice? Looking at all these things that we have, that we have to make a choice. Can you imagine a life without a choice? We all appreciate the gift of choice in our lives. I don't believe there is anyone here who does not appreciate the freedom of gift. Female or male, independent of race or country, you have the choice. Even to remain as you are born or change your sex is a choice. The truth of it, the world system understands that your choice is important. They want to identify who you are. Where do you stand? Are you with the LGBT? Or what are you? Are you conservative or liberal? Very soon, with the way things are happening in this life, there are many decisions that we will be forced to take. Therefore, we thank God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that he has given us. The gift of choice. Hallelujah. We should be thankful for this gift of choice in our lives. Unfortunately, this freedom that God has given mankind, man has abused it. This freedom of choice, this freedom. Today, everyone has his or her interpretation of what is freedom. We are all given it a different definition from what God intended it to be. What man defines as freedom has turned out to be enslaving man. Typical examples we can cite in our days, the United States of America is becoming the divided states of America. Why? Because of the rights, the freedom, which was meant to be a good thing, which God designed it and wanted us to have. He himself, the God that made us, decided to give us that gift of freedom. We should have cherished it and we should have obeyed his laws of using this freedom appropriately. Yes, as I was saying, United States built on the foundation of their founding fathers of faith that came from different countries, from England, with the word of God. But now, if you look at the situation, it's more or less like a divided states of America. Sometimes you wonder, what is the difference between countries that claim to be the land of the free and brave and countries that are alleged to be doing otherwise? I hope you understand what I'm saying. In fact, in the physical, you will be tempted to consider those countries alleged to be repressive regimes to be more safer than the so-called crusaders and promoters of the so-called freedom. Yeah, that's true when you look at and see what is happening. I want to ask you, as a person, do you like having many choices? Do you like having many choices? Do you like having limited or unlimited choices? What is your preference? To have one, and that it means no choice. Do you like having two choices? Or two to three choices? Or 4 to 10 choices? Or unlimited choices? What is your preference? Note that I'm not talking about dinner or lunch buffet choices with uncountable dishes to choose from. And sometimes we overeat, and that is why some of us are fat. We are that size. I'm sorry. Neither am I talking about opening your wardrobe in the morning. You don't know which dress to wear, which shoes to wear, which color to wear, which bag to wear, what color. You know, confusion because you have so much. Neither am I talking about what to cook in the evening, in the afternoon. Unfortunately, because of so much that you have, it confuses you. It's a headache to decide between parents and children what to eat, while others are just waiting for what is called food, and they eat and they go away. You visit a friend. As your host, he wants to be nice to you. He starts asking you what to offer. Tea or coffee, soda, juice. Among the juice, we have the apple juice, we have this orange juice, we have this thing. What type of juice? Do you want it cold, normal temperature? You want ice on it? Wow, so much. Gone are the good old days when you visit. The host offers what is in the house. If it is tea, it is just tea. And you receive it with thanks. But today, they say, it's more better. You have a choice. I don't know if that is really better. In the physical, it does appeal to ask, do you want sugar in your tea? But gone are the days. I mean, it prepares it and brings it, and you take with joy, and you're happy. But today, yeah, I want to respect you. Maybe you don't like sugar, maybe you don't like it hot, maybe you want ice on it. So much choices, especially here in China. When you go to eat, you will spend more than 30 to 1 hour looking for something to eat, and then you sit down waiting for it. The truth, making a choice out of many sets confusion and frustration. You know, Sunday morning quarrels is as a result of what? What to wear? Which dress to wear? So much. It brings confusion and frustration and quarrels. Hallelujah. I pray that we will understand the importance of what God has given us, the choice, and how to make use of it properly. Let's move on to the main topic of today, the two fundamental choices in life as revealed in John 3:16. We have seen those choices. What are these now, the two fundamental choices that we have? Let's go to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Two choices are there. If you believe, or you don't believe. If you believe, you have eternal life. If you don't believe, alright, you will perish. You will not have life. We've talked about that. I'm not going into that detail. This is the greatest and most important choice a man has to make in his life, because it will have a bearing on every other decision or choice that you will make in life. The question of choice is not only in the New Testament. It has been there. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19 to 20. I have said before you, what? Life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast, for the Lord is your life. Now in Deuteronomy, if you don't choose Him, you'll not be able to love Him, you'll not be able to listen to His voice, and you'll not be able to hold fast unto Him. And He will not be, you will not be having life, even though you are literally walking. Because He's life. We talk about God is love, God is life. If you choose Him, you choose life. And that is why He says, for the Lord is your life. God in His infinite wisdom and love towards man did not want to weary man with confusion and frustration of having many choices to choose from. God simplified choices for us by giving us two fundamental choices, choices that matter to God. Did you hear what I said? I said choices that matter to God, because what matters to Him is what should matter to you. You are created for His pleasure, not for your pleasure. After all, you are not in existence, so how could you be thinking of your pleasure? He created you for His pleasure. I hope we understand God is not selfish. He did it for a purpose, and for His good purpose, and for His pleasure. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. What are the two choices? The two fundamental choices that matters in life are summarized with these 5 points. Life and death. Eternity, that's number one. Life and death. Eternity with God or eternity in the lake of fire. Kingdom of God versus kingdom of this world. Jesus the way, or this world's way, or Prophet Muhammad way, Buddha way, or your way. It's between Jesus and the rest. Curses and blessings. These are one and the same. Life, which is God. Death is without God. Life with blessings. Without God is curses. Kingdom of God versus the kingdom, the system of this world. Jesus is the only way, no any other way. Jesus is the only way. Now that we have learned about the two fundamental choices God has given to man, as we close for today, I want to outline 7 important truths about the two choices God has given us. Number one, you must choose. Yeah, because there are people that will say, if I don't want to choose, it's not my choice. Well, what God has given man, God created man and He ordained it, and it must be so. You have been given the right to choose between these two. Any other choice is not a choice from God. So number one, you must choose. No in-betweeners, no sitting on the fence. Let me read you a story. I know some of you know this. The fence, Satan joke. There was a large group of people. On one side of the group stood a man, Jesus. On the other side of the group stood Satan. Separating them, running through the group, was a fence. The scene said, both Jesus and Satan began calling to the people in the group. If you are on my side, come to me, just like Moses did when Israelites had their golden calf. One by one, each having made up his or her own mind, each went to either Jesus or Satan. It's a choice, freedom. You see, God has the power to say, you all come to me. But He didn't. This kept going on. Soon enough, Jesus had gathered around Him a group of people from the large crowd, and Satan also had his own group from that large crowd. But one man joined neither Jesus or Satan. He climbed the fence that was there and sat on it. Then Jesus and his people left and disappeared. So too did Satan and his people. And the man on the fence sat alone, feeling, I'm on my own, I don't belong to either. As the man sat and was amusing himself, Satan came back looking for something which he appeared to have lost. The man said, have you lost something? Satan looked straight at him and replied, "No, there you are, come with me." But, said the man, "I sat on the fence. I chose neither you nor him." "That's okay," said Satan. "I own the fence." I hope you got it. You see, in the first place about sitting fence, the fence is not a safe place to sit or stand at all. It's a risky place. It's not a good place to stand at all. Literally, physically. Now, let me give you some warning about sitting on the fence, those fence sitters, either spiritually or morally or physically. Sitting on the fence itself is your choice, although it's not the choice that God has given. You made another choice. So you, telling God, you know a choice better than his own choice, so you choose your own choice. Don't fall into the trap. The fence belongs to the devil and anyone who sits on it. After all, the world does not like fence sitters. And I believe neither you. The world first does not like people who sit on the fence of matters. The world wants identity. Where do you belong? Where do you stand? Are you a Democrat or Republican? Are you in this party? Are you a communist member or not? Whatever it is, socialism, whatever it is, you have to belong. People want to know where you stand. The world wants to know what is your... In fact, the world has made its position, but unfortunately, the children of God in the house of God are sitting on the fence, either directly or indirectly by the way of life they live. Let me ask you, when was the last time you sat on the fence of decision making in issues that concerns others? How did they feel? If you are on the receiving end of justice, will you like friends to sit on the fence on your matter? Think about that. Let me tell you, God hates sitting on the fence. He hates sitting on the fence. Revelation chapter 3 verse 16 says, "So because you are lukewarm in between, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." Zephaniah 1:12, "And it shall come to pass at that time, I will punish the man who are settled in complacency." Nothing will happen. Careless. "Who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil." Don't be deceived or go with that kind of a lie. Don't be deceived with this kind of a lie. Nothing will happen. Eventually things will work out. God is a loving God. Yes, he is a loving God. But John 3:16 already has a warning there. The love and the wrath of God. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But whosoever refuses, whosoever rejects him will perish." That's judgment. John Hagee said there is something that he calls the love of God. Is what? The wrath of God. The wrath of God. You can read more about the wrath of a loving God in Hosea and see the wrath of God against Israel, Jacob, and Ephraim for their rebellion against God. The other reality that we have to understand, brothers and sisters, the choices are in everyday life. These two choices must be reflected in our everyday life. When you make a decision, will it bring God the glory? Will it be a good testimony? The words that come out of your mouth Will they build or tear others? Make a decision. We are faced in everything that we do. The things I watch, the things you watch, will it edify me? Or I'm just satisfying my pleasure? Or it's a substitute for my boredom? What about the places you go? You have to make a decision. Is it every place you go? What about the jobs you take? Now, graduates, you are into the market, the job market. Places you will go, they will demand bribery. Or they will demand for girls, they must sell their bodies. Anyway, well, even now, for the boys, maybe there are gay people there that will demand that they want to have you. And no HICF, no Pastor George, no Mommy Ann watching or seeing you. You have that choice to make. Number three, important fact about these choices that God has given us. Either of the two choices will influence your life. Either of the two choices will what? Influence your life. Life or death? This world system or the system of God's kingdom? Whichever one you choose, each one of them will influence your life. If you choose God, if you choose to serve Him wholeheartedly, the Holy Spirit will what? Take control. You'll be able to hear Him. You'll be able to stand firm. If you choose this world system, it will certainly influence you. You will have to do what the world's, you have to do it in the world's way. The world has its own prince that rules over this world. And I can tell you, that prince, confidently I can tell you, is not the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. Give Him praise. Amen. Another point that we should know about this choice is the choice has to be made here on earth while living. No decision in the grave or hereafter. It has to be done here. Number five, you are responsible for your choice, and the result starts right here on earth into the life hereafter. I read that number five is very important. You know, we say number four, the choice has to be made here on earth while living. Number five, you are responsible for your choice, and the result starts right here on earth into the life hereafter. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive what is done, what is due for us, what is due for us, what is due for the things done while in this body, whether good or bad. That is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. Whatever you sow, you will reap. We are responsible. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 20. Hey, the one who sins is the one who will die. Nobody. God will not hold somebody and punish him because of your sin. We will all have responsibility to account. Jeremiah 31:30 says, but everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. No longer the fathers that ate the grapes and the children's teeth set on edge. Number six, you can't mix the two choices. If one is present, the other automatically is absent. If light is in, darkness is out. Alright? You cannot. One leg here, one leg over there. You are stuck in one place, and you cannot bring them together. Kingdom of this world and kingdom of God. It won't happen. You can have it that way. We must. The world even doesn't like it. If you are this, identify as A. Eternity is determined here on earth. As we close, brothers and sisters, God loves us. And He doesn't want us to have so much frustration and confusion with different multiple choices. He has given us two choices. And on each one that we choose, it will determine and influence our life here on earth and our final destination. Choose today, I admonish you, life. Choose Jesus, the way. Choose the kingdom of God, eternity with God. Based on the choice you make, as I've said, it will influence your life. It will influence other decisions you will make in this life. If you choose God, you will be able to hear God, to listen to Him, and you will have life. Remember, as we pass through this life, looking forward for His coming, every day that God has given us, He has given us opportunity to reflect, which of these two have we chosen? Which of these two? Life or death? The kingdom of God or the kingdom of this world? Do you choose to please your friends or please God? Do you choose to listen to God or listen to your culture? Let us pray. I want you to pray and make that decision today. Maybe you have made it, but you made mistakes. There is that choice of making it right. You can ask God to forgive you. Uphold your choice of God. Uphold that choice that you have made many years ago of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Revive it, uphold it. You have made the right choice. If you have not made, be on your knees as you listen to me and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Ask Him to forgive you your sins. Ask Him to be your Lord and Master. From this day onward, He is your Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer, God will save you. You have made the right choice, and that right choice will help you to make other choices in life. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.